Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That's right. In the Loop right here on a Thursday as we gear ourselves up for Texans going to Lambeau facing off against the Green Bay Packers. And we always enjoy on Thursdays getting to talk to our guy, Andy Kalu, my Nigerian brethren and a former defensive lineman for your Houston Texans. And Andy, we appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time. How you doing, man?
I am good. How are y'all doing this beautiful Thursday?
Doing pretty good. I can't complain. We all got the hoodies on. Actually, I took my hoodie off personally. But you
it's
know,
hoodie season.
Hoodie season.
We and Uggs.
All right, nobody's doing that. Nobody's doing all that. But, Andy, I know that we get into shenanigans to start, but I want to get right into the football of it all because you get Denico Autry back for this team, or I guess you give Denico Autry to start because you have not had him on the field. And I'm interested because you have a unique understanding of this position. What's reasonable to expect for him coming in as like this hybrid defensive tackle pass rusher, and what's unreasonable to expect from him and how he'll be used?
You know, it just depends on what type of pro he is. And when I say pro, we all know what type of player Denico Autry is. I mean, this is a guy that's been playing some good ball. And surprisingly, it's almost like as he gets older, he gets more productive. But at the same time, what has he been doing with his time off? You know, if this guy's been kicking his tail and he's been doing the CrossFit and, you know, really training, then I think you should expect him to pick up right where he left off, you know, as a big-time player for the Titans. But if this is a guy that's kind of been more, you know, focused on the rehab part, making sure his body's right but not really pushing himself, then you're going to have to ease him into the play count. You know, then he's a guy that you kind of treat like that pitcher coming off of injury where you say, okay, first game, let's get him 20, 25 snaps at most. So it just depends on what his training's been like. But like I said, and like we mentioned, I mean, when you look at his lengthy career and the production, especially with the sacks, has only gotten better since 2021 to 2023. I mean, this is a guy that the expectation is that he's going to hit the ground running, but the reality is that he may need to have a play count.
Andy, I've been calling this a trenches game because they being the Packers, are really good running the ball. The Texans, you know, offensive line is going to have their best test. And to the point that y'all just were talking about with Denico Autry, you could have four interior defenders as new starters because Toto and Al-Shaair didn't practice yesterday. Obviously, Mario Edwards got suspended. Fadakasi didn't practice yesterday, and Denico's coming in. I mean, to me, this is a trenches type of game. Do you see it the same way?
No, look, anytime you play Green Bay in Green Bay, you just feel like it's going to be a trenches type game. Even when they had Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, they still have that old school, you're going to have to stop the run if you want to beat this team. And I feel like that's going to be the case, this Sunday. Look, when you talk about what travels well, and I need to give credit to who brought that up in a segment earlier this week, you talk about the running game and the defense. And I just feel like as good as Jordan Love has been lately, I still feel like you want to take away the run. You want to shut down Josh Jacobs. You want to say, okay, Jordan, you know, still prove it to us that you're that guy. So I'm with you. It's going to get nasty. It's going to get dirty in the trenches. They have some studs on their side, especially on that defensive line. Not the biggest names. Like, I've always been a huge Preston Smith fan. But if you really, like, study football, study their players, you have a lot of respect for what they have in their trenches. So it's definitely going to be fun watching the big uglies bang.
Yeah, so there's the big uglies, and then there's the guys right behind them in the linebacker core for your Texans. And it seems like if these injuries and the possibility that Lopez points to comes to fruition, that you'll have the likes of Jake Hansen and Neville Hewitt handling a lot of linebacker duties. Like, what are they in store for? Because obviously we talk about the ability to run. Josh Jacobs has, you know, popped a lot of explosive runs. But then also the wide receiving core for this Packers team, they don't have, like, it's a whole bunch of, middle kind of cars, if you were playing space. Like, they can get over with all of them, but none of them really stand out as wide receiver one. How hard is it going to be for those linebackers to also focus on the run, but then also need to be kind of coverage guys in the middle of the field?
Yeah, when I think of the linebackers and what they need to think about, be aware of when it comes to coverage, I'm hoping the matchups for them in coverage is going to be mainly with the tight ends. I don't care if you don't know the names of the wide receivers. You know, if you're not familiar with Jaden Reed or Christian Watson for the Green Bay Packers,
Romeo Dobbs,
just know. Yes, thank you. Just know that even with the quote unquote, because I hate this phrase, but the quote unquote no names, the non-household names, there's still a better matchup with a receiver and a linebacker. So hopefully the linebackers, regardless of whether it's the starting linebackers, it's Neville Hewitt, Dick Hansen, they need to be matched up against the tight ends. But I love the depth of the Texans team, not just the defense. Right now, this is a team where if somebody goes out, you could name four or five guys and be like, well, you know what, whether it was this year or last year, we've seen him make plays. We've seen Hansen make plays. We've seen Neville Hewitt this year make plays and was very productive when he was thrown into the game. So at some point, you know, your depth is going to run out. But with the Texans right now, even with the loss of potentially the loss of, you know, Al Shire for this game, I still feel like the culture, the defense is still going to play at that very high level.
Did you see what you wanted to see from the passing game without Nico Collins last week?
Yeah, you know what? That's a great question. You know, you didn't see that one guy have that 120-yard type game. But what I like is you saw everyone step up. You know, coaches talk about when a big player like Nico Collins, a big-time player, is out, that everybody has to step up, not just the position group. So I like the fact that C.J. Stroud was able to spread the ball around. And you saw Diggs. You saw Tank Dell get a little more targets than we've seen this year. And then, obviously, Joe Mixon. I mean, welcome back. Like Joe Mixon taking so much pressure off, not just the quarterback, but the entire offense. So I liked the production that I saw, John, from other position groups and other players. But I also wasn't expecting that one guy to have a Nico Collins type stat line.
We're talking to ND Kalu right here on a hotline and in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. And speaking of the offense, that the run game, you started to allude to it, was really good. You got some big explosives out of the run game that was able to help, you know, kind of balance what you got going there. How much of that felt sustainable? Because I know Seth has talked about kind of the wham and using some of those tight ends to come in and crack that defensive tackle and how that might not be as sustainable. What did you see from that, and how much feels like you can continue to use to run the football?
I think it's sustainable. I mean, look, Seth Payne knows his football. I'm a huge of my buddy Seth, but I do think it's sustainable, and it's sustainable if your offensive coordinator has that versatility when it comes to the blocking schemes, when it comes to the play calling, and it's going to be sustainable as long as Joe Mixon is healthy. So, you know, this isn't junior high football where you have that stud running back and you just say, I just give him the ball between the A and B gap. Like, you still have to get creative with the blocking scheme, and you still have to figure out ways to create those holes so a guy like Joe Mixon and can hit him and let his talent show. So as long as he's healthy, I absolutely believe that that should be the expectation throughout the remainder of the season.
Well, the other thing is Damian Pierce. So I was a little bit surprised, you know, that Cam Akers was moved, but it also speaks to what the coaches believe they have in Damian Pierce, right?
Damian Pierce didn't forget to how to play football. I always felt like, and I'm not just saying this now because he's coming off a big game. Even last year, I was confused. So I'm not going to act like, oh, I know the answer, but he didn't forget how to play football. Like, what he did as a rookie let us know that he's a good football player. So my thought is, oh, well, if it's the scheme, if it's you know, the style of offense, there are certain times you do have to cater to the players that you have and figure out a way to get the best out of them. And that's what we saw. I mean, Damian Pierce is a good football player. He's a physical running back, and he has some speed. He has that deceptive speed, because we all saw it on that kickoff return. So that's a guy that you shouldn't be surprised when he does have a big game. And I love the fact that the majority of the reps goes to a Joe Mixon, and then when he needs a blow, you get Damian Pierce in there, and you better watch out.
Indeed. Lambeau Field is talked about as like hallowed ground in football. Is there something special about playing there when you touch down, or is it like just another day at work on the road?
Yeah, nothing special at all. Like, because I'm like you, like, growing up, just so y'all know, I'm a huge football fan. Like when I was a kid, it's corny. Like you couldn't even see the drywall in my room because I would literally just open up the Sports Illustrated, cut out pictures of NFL players and teams, and I just had a collage throughout my whole room. But I was a huge football fan, so I kept hearing about Green Bay and you know the frozen tundra. And my first time that I played there, I was like, oh, okay, you know, that was anticlimactic. But I think because at that time I'd been to, you know, multiple stadiums, and there's not a stadium in the NFL where you're like, oh, you know what, this is a whack place. Just the fact that you're playing in the NFL, you're going to one of the 31, I guess, you know, not your home stadium, it's exciting. So my point is, it wasn't any more exciting for me than playing in Oakland, than playing in Minnesota, than playing, you know, you name it, New York, MetLife. So it's just, it's the NFL, so it's not any more exciting, but it's still pretty exciting.
Last one from me, Andy, because, you know, I'm talking about the trenches and how important the running game is and all that, but Jordan Love's heating up a little bit, certainly seems more comfortable. And, you know, sort of like the NFC version, a lot of people feel, of C.J. Stroud. Are you seeing that?
He's good. I don't want to put him in that category. He's no C.J. Stroud. Maybe I'm a little bit biased, but matter of fact, if he might be, who have we seen? Sam Darnold. He might be, Caleb Williams, he was off. Probably right now this will be the biggest test as far as the guy under center. Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm missing somebody.
Well, Josh Allen, but D'Amico Ryan said.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, D'Amico Ryan said this week that he thought this was going to be their biggest test at the quarterback position, the best quarterback they faced.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay, look at this thing. I should be a head coach somewhere.
Yeah, you should be.
I've often said that. Yeah.
Almost Pop Warner.
I actually think Josh Allen is, in my opinion, is a better quarterback now just from the history. But anyway, you know, I digress. No, this will be huge. Look, if they can figure out a way to go into Green Bay with Jordan Love under center and pull out a victory, I think that would be the biggest win of this early season, to be able to do that on the road against a team like Green Bay. That, in my opinion, that'd be huge.
What for you is where the Texans win this game, Andy?
Just getting after Jordan Love. I mean, I know he's a good quarterback. I know he has a huge contract, but I still feel like Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, D'Amico Autry, Khalil Davis, my guy Khalil Davis, like just harassing him. It doesn't even have to be – Will Anderson doesn't have to have a 3-sack game, but 3 hits on the quarterback sure would be nice. Just getting his face and not letting him get comfortable.
And to that end, would you actually go to the levels of blitzing, or would you just put it upon – your pass rushers and your, you know, your defensive line to get after him with maybe like 4 with occasional kind of pressure?
Or I would blitz early. You know, that's good. I would blitz early to see how he responds. Like if I'm playing Drake May, I'm blitzing him all game. You know, even if he responds positively early on. But for Jordan Love, I'm blitzing early. Then I'm seeing if he's picking it up. I'm seeing if he's consistently looking off certain players and understands where the weak spot is when you blitz. Because anytime you blitz, there's a weak spot in coverage, which I know a lot of the listeners know that. So I would definitely – you always want to be aggressive. But if he's picking you apart and if he goes 3-for-3 on the blitzes, then I dial it back and let my guys up front provide the pressure with natural rushes.
And I almost forgot, I got to give you credit. You got to take a bow, whatever it is. You went on Texans radio, you came on this show last week, and you said they come in bunches, that the sacks come in bunches. And lo and behold, I think you saw what Will Anderson did last week.
No, good call by you for remembering that. But no, that's, you know, and I got to give credit to Hugh Douglas, because there was one year, you know, I was frustrated because it was like week 6 and I either had 1 sack or no sack. And he was like, hey, man, they come in bunches. So, you know, I've always talked about that on the radio, on television, and I've just noticed it, especially with the great pass rushers. Mm-hmm. Not the slappies like me, but the Will Andersons of the world. The Miles Garrett of the world, like if there's like a 2-3 game stretch where they don't have sacks, you really don't worry about it, because you know if they just keep coming, keep grinding, they're gonna have those type of games.
Hey Andy, I gotta bring this up, man. I just got a text from Cecil Shorts. He said, OMG, Lambo is legendary. The aura is historic. And he said, Andy is tripping.
Oh wow. Wow. Where did Cecil play? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Andy.
You know what? Cecil is a guy that appreciates things. Like, he's a good dude. Like, he's one of those guys, he's where his feet are at. And that's a positive. That's a good thing. So I can see why Cecil would have that point of view. I'm just one of those, I've been here, done that, put my hand in the dirt. You know, the dirt's all the
same. Where's my lunchbox?
Yeah, after my rookie year, I wasn't really, like, looking around like, oh, this is so cool. It's just kind of like, look, Cecil was a wide receiver. You know, he's a pretty boy wide receiver. I'm dealing with some 330-pound dude in front of me. I didn't have time to appreciate the surroundings. I was like, oh, geez, man, this guy's trying to pancake me. And, yeah, you know, I got to make sure I don't end up on somebody's highlight film.
And anything that gets Cecil out of the house for a weekend and away from his six kids is going to be the greatest thing ever.
Wow, why'd you do that?
Exactly. That's a big part. And that's because he's such a good dad. You know, he's not one of these busters that don't take care of the kids. The fact that he does take care of all those kids, yeah, he's going to appreciate any and anywhere.
I feel like that's ND being a guy who did not have an opportunity to Lambeau leap at any point, whereas Cecil, I feel like you had more possibilities of being able to get that ball into the end zone Lambeau leap. Do you think that factored in at all?
That could be it. That could be part of it as well. Yeah, because all I wanted to do, and it was cold. You know what? When I was in Philly, I remember how cold it was. So I wasn't trying to appreciate my surroundings.
You was trying to get into the warmth, get to the heater?
Yeah, let's get this dub and get out of here.
That's our guy, Andy Kalu. How proud are you of Figgy getting the house situation sorted? I know that you've been a mentor in that way.
Man, look, anytime you could own real estate, I'm very, especially as a young black man under the age of 40, you know, not to get too deep and not to get certain people, oh, there he goes with this again. Well, no, as a young black man under 40 to own a piece of America where not too long ago they wouldn't even give him a mortgage. Shout out to Figgy and his wife and congratulations.
Look at that.
Appreciate that, man.
Always bringing up race.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate that, man. I was just on the phone with him before he got back to the segment.
Oh, wow.
Asking him about gutters.
There you go. Right, there we go. ND knows about real estate, and he knows ball as well. We appreciate you, my man. Always thank you for giving us some time on your Thursdays.
Man, appreciate y'all. Y'all make my drives midday a whole lot easier.
All right.
Thanks a lot, bro.
Happy to do it. The testimonials rolling in. Andy Kalu, my Nigerian brethren, joins us on Thursdays to get us ready for Texans games. This time, Packers coming up this weekend. What you laughing at?
Because Cecil just texted me, too.
Okay. I feel like we just need to have Cecil on the air at this point.
We're putting all his business out there, because I said that about anything getting away from the kids for a weekend. He goes, facts.
I appreciate Cecil Shorts listening and interacting with the show. You can always interact the show by texting in 713-572-4610. Coming up next in the loop, let's get into what's popping, including what exactly are the Astros teasing right now? We'll talk about that more next.